In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning as we are in another episode of the Word for Life. And my name is Mark Widmer, and joining Pastor Ken Keltner as we're in Chapter 2 of the Book of Revelation. Just before Pastor Ken begins his teaching, I want to let you know about a very special trip that is happening in February of 2025, just under a year from now. Brookside is hosting a trip to the Holy Land, to Israel. And if you'd like to join us or at least get information to explore the possibility, contact the church office for a brochure. But it's going to be just a wonderful trip. 2 weeks from now is Good Friday on the 29th of March. And on that evening at 6 o'clock, we are having the adult cantata. And our children will also have a part in that evening, and it's just going to be a great, great time. They've been working for months on this, and 6 o'clock on that Friday, we'd love to have you come join us. But Pastor Ken, we're talking about the church at Pergamum. Please continue.
Well, this church has been characterized here in Revelation by compromising the truth, which when we do that, it will always lead us to tolerate sin. We saw in verse 12, Christ is characterized by his judgment. Yet in verse 13, the church is commended for their faithfulness and their confession to Christ Jesus. There were several in the church that had a great love for the Lord. But the church then in verses 14 is criticized for compromise. And in verse 14, it had to do with their immorality. It was dealing with their morality, but there was immorality going on. And then in verse 15, their theology. That was an issue. That was a problem that they had let creep in. And so then when we get to verse 16, the church is going to be corrected by Jesus. Jesus warns them to repent. And we left off in our last broadcast talking about that word repent is in the imperative verb form, which means it's a strong command, meaning stop sinning. Turn around. Stop compromising. Stop commingling truth with error. And if you're doing that, you're heading the wrong direction. And that's what Jesus was directing his rebuke at this church. Did you notice, though, how there's a change in pronouns between you and them in verse 16? Won't you read that for us there, Pastor Mark?
Therefore, repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth.
So he changes from you to them when he says, I will come to you quickly and will fight against them. It reflects really an underlying Hebrew idiom, so to speak, in which both pronouns refer to the same body. In other words, the church is commanded to deal with their tolerance of immorality in the church immediately. Friends, a Christian is in deep trouble if he does anything with sin, but deals with it seriously and severely. A Christian is in trouble if he feels sorry on Sunday for what he did on Saturday, but he's planning on doing it again on Monday. That's not repentance. We don't get any points for being in church on Sunday. And I'd say, sir, if you're planning to meet a woman you're not married to later tonight, don't do it. Ma'am, if you're planning on responding to that email invitation to lunch with a married man, don't do it. Young lady, you've been asked out by a guy who you know doesn't belong to Christ Jesus and you're tempted by 100 reasons, don't do it. Listen to the warning. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, my dad, Pastor Mark, you, after giving instructions, would always say, you know, if you have an ear to hear, let you hear.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what Christ is saying here. Are you listening, people? People may hear the words, but they really don't have the ears to hear. The words are there, but the heart is somewhere else. People will often say to me about a person in a special situation, "Do you think this person will ever see the light?" And my experience has been that people do not change when they have even seen the light, for human beings only change when they feel the heat. Listen, sinning believers should be made to feel miserable. Some of the most miserable people in all the world are believers who are living in sin. Mm-hmm. They're frustrated, they're angry. Times they can even be bitter, wanting to blame others for their own sinful actions. But you feel miserable in the fellowship and worship of church by being confronted powerfully with the Word of God. You know, God's Word, it's that sword that can pierce asunder into our lives. But neither, though, is the goal of the church to provide an environment where unbelievers feel comfortable. It's to be a place mm-hmm. where they can hear the truth, be convicted of their sins, and so to recognize their need for a Savior. I remember Pastor Mark, when we were in Romans, there was a fellow who was bringing a young lady who was not a believer. And she came to Christ a few weeks into our series in Romans, but I got tickled when she came to me. She said, "Yeah, I came to the Lord," but she said, "I would always go out in the parking lot and go, I know I'm a sinner. When is he going to get out of Romans 1? And Lord willing, you're in a Bible-believing church that is going to confront sin through the Scripture. But not only does Jesus warn them with there to repent, he warns them of rejection. For he says, "Or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them." There's that "them" again, which is speaking about this church, the congregation there, "with the sword of my mouth." I think, Pastor Mark, what a sad picture. I can really think of mm-hmm. no sadder words in all the Bible as if it relates to the Christian community, Christ making war with believers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that ought to resonate really with all of us, because worldliness, compromise, tolerance, it had rushed into this church like a flood, and she was on the verge of drowning. And yet, what a gross misunderstanding of grace and the gospel we suffer from today as we allow that to happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, we have a high calling. As Peter reemphasized, that our Lord, our God, is holy, and we're to be holy as he is holy. But finally, we see the reward here. The church is challenged by its reward. Why don't you read for us verse 17, Pastor Mark?
"He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it."
So we find this promise that Jesus will nourish us. He speaks here of that hidden manna. And again, manna satisfied, if you remember, the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. The hidden manna he is speaking of here is Jesus himself. Jesus personified himself as the bread of life. He's not some sort of temporary food, but he provides eternal food, the bread of life. So not only will Jesus nourish us, but he will receive us. Jesus says, secondly, through the Spirit, by the pen of John, "I will give him a white stone." Now, the exact meaning and significance of the white stone is a little bit elusive. There are at least six different views on this meaning of the white stone. The view I think is very possible is the meaning of the white stone from the world of sports. A winner at the Olympic Games was awarded a white stone with his name written on it that would serve as his ticket to a special awards banquet and other festivities. In this view, Christ is promising a heavenly awards banquet and festivities for his bride. And so not only will Jesus nourish and receive us, but he's going to even acknowledge us. For on the stone is a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. Friends, no one is going to know this name except you and Jesus. It's like a secret with our best friend, but I can tell you it's only better. It's a special name for the one who loves us, who died for us, and redeemed us from our sin. So as we conclude with this particular church in Pergamum and move on, let me just say the bottom line that I hope that you picked up from this compromising church is that compromise never occurs quickly. It just slowly kind of creeps in. And you let one thing go and another. And friends, not only will that creep into the church, it'll creep right into your life. Someone doesn't just fall deep into sin overnight. There is a progression there where they're stepping away. They're not walking with the Lord. And then compromise always will lower the original standard. You see this so many times with those who have fallen into some sort of immorality or premarital sexual activity. They had a standard, and maybe they even had written their standards out, but all of a sudden, I broke it in this area, but I'm going to stop it right here. It's not going to go any further. And the same within the church. Well, we're going to maintain this standard, and pretty soon it just slides a little bit more to the left. It's as many pastors have said, Pastor Mark, it's always a slippery slope. And then compromise is seldom offensive. You know, we want to please everybody. Hey, this is going to go over well. Nobody's going to have a problem with this. And then finally, compromise is often the first step toward total disobedience. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. I can think back in my own life when I knew I was sliding in an area that God wasn't going to be pleased with, and it would end up and result in sin. And as we said earlier, you can try to hide your sin, but Solomon said it so well, and someone who knew not to hide his sin, you would have thought would have been Solomon, you know, because he said, boy, you want to try to hide your sin, you'll never prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. And friends, I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, we'll pick up in our next study of the corrupt church there in Thyatira. And so I hope that you'll be able to join us. Have a wonderful day and start to your week.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.